Sometimes the saints can seem far off from our own life experience. We can think of spiritual childhood prodigies, like our own St. Catherine of Siena receiving mystical visions around age 6, or mystic miracle workers, like Padre Pio, who during his own life was reported to have bilocated multiple places at one time, or even saints who have had massive worldwide impact, even recently, like St. Mother Teresa or St. John Paul II. These men and women are heroic. They manifest clear evidence of God's glory at work in the world. But the gifts that God showers on these people are also so outsized, so immense, that it can be hard sometimes for us to look at them and to aspire to those same things ourselves. And then there is Rose Hoffmann. There is the venerable, the now venerable Rose Hoffmann, whose life really touches us all here in this church tonight. Rose, convert to Catholicism, wife, mother, cancer nurse, widow, consecrated religious, and near and dear to our hearts, a New Yorker, not by birth, but by inhabitance. Yet above all, before and beyond each of these attributes, Rose Hawthorne was a woman who simply loved God, very concretely, very personally, and who by His grace gradually found herself being totally overtaken by divine love. Rose's road to this intimate union with God was not so simple or straightforward, though. Many of you know that she was the daughter of the famous New England author Nathaniel Hawthorne, whose book, The Scarlet Letter, is probably familiar to many of us from high school, sophomore English for me. Rose grew up in a good home, but not a Catholic home. And it would take some time for her to come through the faith and also much suffering. After her parents had passed and after she had married and had a son with her husband, this 4-year-old son died of diphtheria. And she and her husband really entered into a depressed state about this and were unable to conceive again. And in the void that opened up at this loss, they pursued God. They knew that only God could heal. Only God can touch the deepest wounds of our hearts. And so at this, Rose pursued the Catholic faith. She entered into the church, she and her husband. And then in time, she dared to pray, as she recorded in her diary just 2 years after being received into the church. She dared to pray at the Memorare that her life be made a willing sacrifice to God. A willing sacrifice to God, she prayed. And boy, did God hear this prayer. He lured her, as we heard from the prophet Hosea. He led her into the desert of a marriage which became more and more trying as her husband fell into alcoholism. A life which became more and more lonely, she continued to pursue God. And in this, just attending daily Mass, spending more time in prayer after Mass, she began to perceive a call, a new vocation, to serve not just any poor, but to serve Christ's poor and Christ's cancerous poor. After some time separating from her husband with permission of the local bishop, she moved to New York. She would continue frequent correspondence with her husband, supporting him, loving him, but knowing they couldn't live together. And it was here, during her time in New York City, after seeing a one Emma Lazarus, famous poet whose words are on the foot of the Statue of Liberty, "Give me your poor, give me your tired," etc. After seeing Emma Lazarus die a terrible death at the hands of cancer, a woman of great means in a fine apartment die at the hands of cancer, she thought to herself, if this is what becomes of Emma, what becomes of all those who have no one to care for them, who have no hospital to go to, who are sent off to Blackwell's Island, now Roosevelt Island, to die in a large ward? And so she sought to train as a nurse, a cancer nurse, at one new New York cancer hospital on the Upper West Side, known to us now as the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And here, during a summer apprenticeship, Rose trained. And she trained really not just to be a nurse to the body, but far more a nurse to the Christ present in the souls of those whom she served. And so she did. Upon finishing her training, she went down to the Lower East Side and she started to welcome in all of those, acquiring a tenement house, and soon other women came along to help, and they were Third Order Dominicans, and then they were instituted as a congregation of religious, receiving a habit. And so she was, from Rose Hawthorne to Mother Mary Alfonza, a superior, guiding, piloting her congregation through 26 years, until she returned to the Lord. For us, what is the significance of this biography, of her just having been declared venerable officially by the congregation for the dicastery for the cause of the saints in Rome? In the process of becoming a saint, first there's a kind of public interest, local popular interest in making someone recognizable for their holiness over the course of their life. An investigation is made on the local level. If it seems legitimate, the person is named a servant of God, which Rose was just until this past March. And then that file is sent to Rome for further, a final official approval, we can say, at the human level. And this past March 15th, we received word that Rose Hawthorne is no longer just to be called servant of God, but that her life is definitively worthy of imitation. That she is a clear public witness of Christian holiness for you and for me. Which means that at the human level, as far as we can do things, as far as we can know, at the merely human level, the church has confirmed that Rose Hawthorne was a holy woman. And so now, at this Mass especially, and in our prayers going forward, we offer up this witness, this testimony to Rose's holiness, to Almighty God for His ratification. We now beseech the intercession of Rose Hawthorne privately for the needs in our lives, for especially the afflicted loved ones who have cancer in our lives, that God might prove to us, to all the world, by His power, that she is with Him in heaven and worthy of public veneration in the church. And so we hope for one miracle to make her a blessed, and then two miracles to make her not just venerable, not just blessed, but Saint Rose Hawthorne one day, please God. In the meantime, as we contemplate the example of Rose Hawthorne, and as we think about how we ourselves can pursue the same kind of holiness which Rose Hawthorne herself lived, what do? We look to Christ. We look to Christ, present on the cross, present on the altar, the very same Jesus whom Rose Hawthorne knew and loved. The very same Jesus whom Rose Hawthorne received daily in the Eucharist, from whom she received this call to intimacy and to service of Christ's poor. Because Rose Hawthorne was not just a social worker. She was not just a nurse. She was not just a one-time spouse and mother and widow. She was, above all, a lover of God in all that she did. And that vocation, to be a lover of God in all that one does, that is not too lofty for you and for me. No, it is possible, even here, right now, to draw near to God and to us also make of ourselves a willing sacrifice to God, that He too, like He did with Rose, may draw us near and consume us with the fire of His love, and through us consume others with the fire of that same love. Amen.